Thank you, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, February the 13th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gandhi.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A local government minister Ignatius Chombo clashes with a British investment delegation over the ZANU-PF succession issue and how it will be resolved as investors worry about President Robert Mugabe's advancing age and his ability to steer the country's economy out of the woods.
I really don't think there is a problem. If he thinks there is a problem, or if they do not understand an aspect of our laws, we as ministers that are there to fully explain.
Zimbabwe marks World Radio Day with organizations like the Media Institute of Southern Africa urging Harare to open up the airwaves.
And a defiant Julius Malema says his EFF party is taking parliament to court following ugly scenes in the South African parliament yesterday.
The ruling party, which is the ANC, is intolerant and it has converted a democratic state into a police state.
Local government minister Ignatius Chombo today clashed with the British investment delegation over the ZANU-PF succession issue and how it will be resolved as investors worry about President Robert Mugabe's advancing age and his ability to steer the country's economy out of the woods. They also clashed over policy inconsistencies, especially the country's indigenization law that requires foreigners to cede 51% stakes to locals in companies. The 19-member British business delegation is sponsored by Investment Africa and comprises 12 companies from different sectors. But their meeting with Chombo turned sour after the delegation began to ask about President Robert Mugabe's succession plan and the unfairness of the empowerment law that gives indigenous blacks a controlling stake in all companies. Problems with the law have been worsened by discord among cabinet ministers on its implementation matrix. Chombo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Harare will not allow investors to interfere in the country's internal politics.
The head of the group said he wanted clarity on land rights, succession, indigenization, and he wanted the policy consistency. So I said, well, policy-wise, we are very consistent. We've clearly elaborated what our indigenous relation policy is. And if the British come in, they dance to it. I gave them kind examples of whereby the indigenization is 8 in favor of the locals, 20 in favor of the investor. And I said, well, our situation is extremely very good. And I said, the political situation in our country, we don't interfere in anybody else's, and really it's our prerogative. He kind of apologized, not apologized, but sort of understood what I was saying.
Lastly, Dr. Chombo, but might there not be a problem on the indigenization in terms of how it is perceived outside and what it is actually doing on the ground? Is there no disconnect there? Maybe that's where the problem is coming in.
I really don't think there is a problem. If he thinks there is a problem, or if they do not understand an aspect of our laws, we as ministers that are there to fully explain to them, and their doors are always open. We are very, very amenable to discussions.
That was the local government minister Ignatius Chombo on the line from Harare with Blessing Zulu.
For an in-depth analysis, Blessing also reached Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Institute of Zimbabwe, who says the delegation is right to ask questions as prospective investors.
Basically, the concerns of the British investors or potential investors, I think they are quite valid points, really, because when you look at the investment environment regionally and even globally, it's highly competitive. So you need, as an investor or as a potential investor, when you are prospecting, obviously you want to put your investments where there is a certainty in terms of policies, where there is consistency in terms of policies.
But talking about succession, is it not tantamount to interfering in Zimbabwe's politics?
Obviously, any person that wants to invest in Zimbabwe is affected by these issues of succession, whether there's going to be a succession and when there's going to be a succession.
And that was Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Institute of Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The South African Parliament descended into utter chaos yesterday when opposition lawmakers prevented President Jacob Zuma from delivering his annual State of the Nation speech. Security officers entered the parliament and forcibly removed members of the opposition, economic freedom fighters, including EFF leader Julius Malema, who had halted the president's speech by asking when Mr. Zuma would repay the more than $20 million in public money spent on upgrading his private home. After the removal of Malema's party, lawmakers from the main opposition party, the Democratic Alliance, protested the ejection and walked out of the chamber. Mr. Zuma then delivered his speech to cheers of support from lawmakers of his ANC party as he highlighted the strides South Africa has made since the end of white minority rule 2 decades ago. Blessing Zulu caught up with Mr. Malema, who says his party will not stop asking Mr. Zuma critical questions.
Well, in South Africa, the ruling party, which is the ANC, is intolerant, and it has converted a democratic state into a police state, wherein police are used. We think that yesterday it was a sad day for our democracy in South Africa, and we hope that South Africans will wake up and see the ANC, which is the ruling party, for what it is.
But will you be challenging what happened yesterday in the courts?
We are going to our constitutional court here in South Africa, and we want the court to declare that what happened yesterday is unlawful and should not repeat itself. And those of our members who were beaten up are going to be suing the parliament, because parliament owes it to members of parliament to protect them.
How many members of your party were injured?
Were almost 7 people injured. And we've got one who is still in hospital today because she's badly injured.
But Honorable Malema, your critics might say maybe yesterday was the wrong forum, since it was the State of the Nation address to raise your concerns about the alleged corruption.
There is no correct platform, because the South African president never comes to parliament.
And that was South Africa's EFF leader, Julius Malema, speaking with Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg in South Africa.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Zimbabwe's Chevrons kick off their ICC World Cricket Cup campaign on Sunday.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Witnesses say Nigeria's Boko Haram militants have killed at least 10 people during an early morning attack in Chad. This is the first time Boko Haram has carried out an attack in Chad, which has joined a regional offensive against the Islamist extremist group. Witnesses say the attackers crossed Lake Chad in 3 motorized canoes to make a pre-dawn attack. They set fire to parts of the village known as Ngubua and killed the village chief before being driven back by Chadian soldiers. Boko Haram has previously raided towns on Nigeria's borders with Cameroon and Niger.
Ukraine's military says 11 soldiers have been killed and 40 wounded in fighting in eastern Ukraine in the past day, despite a ceasefire deal reached yesterday, but not yet in effect. Military officials say the fighting was particularly intense around Debaltsev, a key transport hub that has been hotly contested in recent days.
And police in Pakistan say militants attacked a Shiite mosque in northwest Pakistan today, killing at least 19 people and wounding 60 others. Explosions and gunfire were heard during the attack on the mosque in Peshawar, where worshippers had gathered for evening prayers. The attack on the mosque is the latest in a rising tide of sectarian violence in Pakistan.
The country's radio broadcasters gathered in Gweru today to commemorate World Radio Day, with organizations like the Media Institute of Southern Africa Zimbabwe chapter urging Harare to open up the airwaves, in particular licensing community radio stations. Correspondent Taura Ishaba brings us more.
Members of the public get a chance to mingle with some of the country's top radio personalities and singers as radio stations broadcast from Gweru today to mark World Radio Day. The theme for this year's commemoration was Youth and Radio. Tamuka Mgariri, a child parliamentarian, was one of the speakers at the occasion, said radio is an important medium, especially as it can reach many people even in the remotest of areas. Mugari told Studio 7 that young people want the nation's radio stations to reintroduce educational lessons as was being done in the past.
We as youth, we kindly ask that the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation and the radio stations focus on the youths, that they also get lessons from the radio, culturally, morally, as well as educationally, through teachers. Teachers which may sign up to conduct their lessons over the air, and children to have an open platform which they respond to. Basically, that's what we as the representatives of the youth advocate for.
Kariro Zijinji, a journalism student at Harare Polytechnic, said it is important to give young people an opportunity to be on radio so that they can get a platform to talk about issues that affect them. A student teacher who only identified herself as Edna agreed with this view and added that radio stations must have programs that focus on the girl child. Information Minister Jonathan Moyo had been expected to attend the event, but he did not show up. Permanent Secretary Ivan Ogurira, who represented Moyo, said the government, through the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe, is working on finalizing the necessary requirements so more radio licenses can be processed. Gurira also said that government is making efforts to meet the digitization deadline of June 15, which was set by the International Telecommunications Union. Gweru residents Denford Gurira told Studio 7 that government must allow more players in the broadcasting sector in order to foster plurality and diversity. Midland State University Media Studies lecturer Namo Miripiri shares the same view and said government must move with speed to license community radio stations. He, however, suggested that communities must be educated so that the community radio stations are not abused.
There is a great opportunity in having communities owning their stations, but there is also a danger, which is not the general norm, but there is possibilities that radios can be misused. Cases in point are Rwanda, and we've also had in Europe, the former Serbia, where radio was used as an instrument of war. But would not take these isolated incidences as a general norm, that once people get hold of radios, they are bound to misuse them. We would rather go with the popular general trend where communities have been used to benefit the communities that have adopted them.
UNESCO representatives say this year's theme is important as youths constitute more than half of the world's population and need to have their voices heard. In its statement marking World Radio Day, Mr. Zimbabwe said the day comes at a time when the country is still to implement the three-tier broadcasting system by calling for applications for licenses for community radio stations. The day should therefore spur the government into action, given the potential of community radio in raising awareness and providing solutions to community problems that range from education, hygiene, sanitation, infrastructural development, agriculture, and local governance, especially in marginalized remote areas, says Mr. Zimbabwe. This is in line with Section 61, subsection 3 of the country's constitution, which makes it clear that broadcasting and other electronic media of communication have freedom of establishment, subject to requirements necessary to regulate airwaves, as well as the African Charter on Broadcasting, three-tier broadcasting system. Currently, the country has four public radio stations and two national commercial radio stations broadcasting on FM and awaits the licensing of local commercial radio stations. This follows the call and conducting of 12 public hearings for commercial provincial radio licenses last year. Activists say the decentralization of radio broadcasting from the main cities will allow for diversity and plurality in the sector. This year's commemorations come ahead of the International Telecommunications Union's July 2015 deadline for digitization of the broadcasting sector, as broadcasting continues to evolve and harness the widest audience possible. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shala.
Organizations for people living with disabilities say Zimbabwean authorities should take urgent steps to improve access to information for those living with disabilities. Safari Njema reports.
Executive Director of the National Association of Societies for the Care of the Handicapped, NASCO, Fambaineni Innocent Magweva, says people with disabilities are failing to access important information that empowers them socially and economically.
Information is power. Without information these days, you can't decide your future. So the few people who might have access to technological gadgets are the ones who can access information. So we could look at an area where we empower people with disabilities to use the social media. Technology is a great equalizer in terms of accessing information.
Magweva says NASCO will not allow itself to be overwhelmed by the problem of lack of access to information. He says this year they are going all out to engage journalists and government officials to ensure that people living with disabilities access information.
We need to work with those in the media. Package the information, that the media is able to package the information to be disseminated to persons with disabilities. Then we've got the area of policymakers. The moment they've concluded a policy, we need then to sit with them and package it in a way that it is accessible to every person with a disability.
His sentiments are echoed by Rejoice Timire, chairperson of Women with Disabilities Support Organization, who says the media needs to portray people with disabilities in a positive way instead of the negative stories that are currently being written about them.
What we want is to see somebody with a disability being shown with the positive things which the person has done. If one is a farmer, they should show that this person has been able to do 1, 2, 3 things, has been able to do farming, though the person has got a disability. And this will really give an awareness to the country. For those with children with disabilities who are not going to school, they will know that if you send your child with a disability to school, this child will be somebody in life.
Timire says women with disabilities, especially those in rural areas, need to be empowered with the right information through the media.
It really affects women with a disability, because when it comes to issues of sexual reproductive health, if you don't have that information, which means your health is being jeopardized. Yet that is a critical issue, because we also give birth. We also be infected with HIV. We also affected with the STIs. We also want to protect ourselves from unwanted pregnancy. But if we lack information, how are we going to know about all these things? So information is really vital to a woman with a disability.
Group Chief Executive Officer of AB Communications, the multimedia company that owns ZFM Stereo, Susan Makore, says she feels the media is not reporting fairly on disability issues.
It's a problem of the industry broadly, because I believe that we tend to think stereotypically when we are looking at people with disabilities or living with disabilities. You know, we are not looking at them as sources broadly. that much is effect in the media. However, if it's World Disability Day, or maybe we have games for people with disabilities or Special Olympics, then yes, we will then go and actively look for sources, both male and female, who are living with disabilities.
Makore says the media should change its perception of people with disabilities and report on their concerns without biases.
We need to be looking at them as sources for anything, because they are agriculturalists, they are scientists, they are in all spheres of the society. So even when we are thinking manufacturing, do we ever think, okay, in terms of what's happening in manufacturing, what are the things that are impediments in that industry for them? We rarely do that. But that's where we need to get to, so that we think broadly about people living with disabilities as sources across all sectors of the economy or of our lives, social, political, any of those areas.
Secretary General of the National Commission for UNESCO, Dr. Temba Ndlovu, says his organization is ready to assist the setting up of information kiosks for people with disabilities in rural areas that ensure that such people access important information from government and the media.
Those types of schemes need to be intensified. They shouldn't be one or two in a district. They should be spread right across, so that organizations like UNESCO and other organizations can be able to be part and parcel of programs which are initiated by the same women who are disadvantaged.
Lovo says organizations for people with disabilities also need to be proactive and persistent in engaging local and international organizations, including the media, if they are to have meaningful impact. Lucia Mambure, a mother of a child with cerebral palsy, says the problem of denial of access to information should be addressed first at family level and then at community level, where decisions are made for children with disabilities on what to eat, how to dress, and other related issues.
So if in the home we don't ask them what they want to eat, we ask their siblings or those around them what we think they might want to eat, then how can we then be able to give them information to do with policy?
According to the United Nations, there are an estimated 1.4 million people with disabilities in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe's Chevrons face the mighty Proteas of South Africa in their opening 2015 ICC Cricket World Cup game in Hamilton Sunday. Reporter Michael Cariati looks at the Chevrons' chances in this crucial encounter.
The first game is always the talking point of any team in a World Cup tournament. As a result, Zimbabwe's Chevrons will be hard-pressed for a good show when they trot onto the Sedok Park Stadium in Hamilton Sunday for their showdown with neighbors, the Proteas of South Africa, in their opening World Cup match. The Chevrons' performance in this game will be enough to judge whether the team has the overall strength and team spirit to go further in a competition that pits 14 of the best cricket-playing teams from around the globe. The star of the Zimbabwean show, Hamilton Masakaza, is straight to the point, saying the game against their neighbors is crucial, as it would either boost morale and confidence or could destroy their ambition. Masakaza, however, believes that in a World Cup tournament, anything can happen. He says the South Africans can be beaten, as the Zimbabweans are currently in peak form.
I think we've got a very good chance. The guys have been looking in very good form.
Masakaza, who missed the 2007 World Cup through injury and was dropped for the 2011 tournament due to poor form, is in sparkling form. He thinks Zimbabwe is ready to rock and roll. The two teams last met in Zimbabwe during the Triangular Series that also involved Australia, where Zimbabwe lost both matches, first by 63 runs and the second by 61 runs. They are also coming up against a fired-up South African side that boasts some of the world's best players in the form of Hashim Amla, Joe Steyn, A.B. de Villiers, and J.P. Dumini. Despite the Proteas threat, the Zimbabweans have set themselves the target of reaching the Super 8 stage and Captain Elton Chigumbura thinks that is within their reach.
We are good enough to win matches at this tournament.
Apart from South Africa, the Zimbabweans are in the same group with the defending champions India, the West Indies, Pakistan, Ireland, and the United Arab Emirates.
Thank you, Michael. And now, Chris, we go to entertainment. The Zimbabwean-born artist Kudzai Sigauke, who also goes by Sisiyanti Sigs, has just released her official debut single, Vaya Kaduna, taken off her upcoming album, New Beginnings, due out in a few months. She spoke with Blessing Zulu.
What inspired me was the I personally was in a situation whereby I had some interest in some guy, and that guy had the same interest, but we didn't know that we were attracted to each other. But every time you'd step on the scene, I would want to show my best, to just blow his mind and stuff like that. So that's where the idea came from. I think my body going crazy for you.
You are also collaborating on this song with a Nigerian artist, Moni. Who is this Nigerian singer?
Oh, he's an upcoming artist. His full name is Anthony Burnett Moni. That's his AKA.
Is he based in South Africa?
Oh, yes. He's based in South Africa. We met last year. And I listened to some of his music. I really liked his work. He's worked with other artists, like Deleuze, South African artist, Deleuze, and Burna Boy as well. So I just felt, let's do this, this collab, because it's great, it's amazing. Our chemistry was amazing, so yeah. See right through your naked eye, take a good look at it.
And how is it being received by your fans?
I am so thankful. I feel like I have a family that I don't know, that I would love to meet, because the love that I'm getting is, it's like, wow, amazing. It's awesome.
Are you embarking on promotional tours of this song anytime soon?
Yes, definitely. We're working on, there's going to be first a South African tour, and then we're going to have a Zimbabwean tour. And hopefully, we're going to come that side, States.
That would be amazing, because I think many people would like the song. It's brilliantly done.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about it, because everybody is just showing me so much love.
Sisiyanti, thank you so much for your time, and all the best in your music business.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And that was singer-songwriter Kudzai Sigauke, a.k.a. Sisiyanti Sigs, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg in South Africa.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Local Government Minister Ignatius Chombo clashes with the British investment delegation over his party's succession issue.
Zimbabwe marks World Radio Day with organizations like the Media Institute of Southern Africa urging Harare to open up the airwaves.
And at the weekend, please stay tuned. Don't leave your television sets to watch Zimbabwe's chevrons facing the mighty Proteas of South Africa in their upcoming and opening 2015 ICC Cricket World Cup game.
Now we're leaving you in the hands of Ntunga Milinkomo with Studio 7's and Ndebele News. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira. Good night, Zimbabwe.